Please be seated. Last week, I attended the Living Wax Museum at my brother's school. Every year, his school puts on an event where students research historical figures and then dress up as them to give presentations in the first person, as if they were in a wax museum. Many students choose individuals like George Washington, Susan B. Anthony, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. However, my brother chose to research William Penn because, quote, I don't want to be anyone who owns slaves. Good choice, bud. If you don't know much about William Penn, you're not alone. Neither did I. I soon learned he was an activist and religious leader who spoke about religious tolerance and social equality. He was imprisoned multiple times for his outspoken thoughts on the Quaker faith. Penn eventually founded the province of Pennsylvania as a community dedicated to peace. The province of Pennsylvania became a place where Quakers were able to live freely of the religious intolerance they once faced in Europe. In today's first lesson, we hear the story of Stephen and the actions of those whose intolerance led to the end of Stephen's life. While preaching the word of God, religious leaders claimed that Stephen had in fact committed blasphemy and had been preaching against the teachings of the Torah. When Stephen restated his belief in Jesus as the Son of Man, saying, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God," this statement is what would lead to his early and violent death. Stoned to death by those who closed their minds and ears to his religious beliefs, beliefs different from their own. While Stephen lied on the ground being attacked, rather than wishing ill on those who hurt him, he prayed for those souls, asking that their actions not be held against them. But how do we pray for someone who harms us? When writing about the doctrine of spiritual forgiveness, William Penn wrote, "Let us then try what love will do. For if men did once see we love them, we should soon find they would not harm us." When Stephen prays for those souls of the men who kill him, he acts in love. Love for his faith and love for those souls who hurt him. Stephen is a reminder to us that when we are persecuted, harassed, and mistreated, we must lead with love and lean on God, because that is all we have. We cannot control the actions of those who harm us, but we can pray for them, and we can show them love. He reminds us that what we can do is lean on our faith in those times. The story of Stephen and William Penn are ones of power and faith. Stephen uses his faith to lead him at the end of his life, and William Penn shows us that a life of faith can lead us to make great changes in the world. Today we are reminded that leading with love is not a passive act. It is the ultimate act of defiance against a world that tells us to be afraid, to be angry, and to close our ears to one another. Our faith is not just a shield to hide behind, but a compass to point us towards peace. We may not be able to control the chaos of the world or the actions of those who harbor intolerance, but we can control where we place our trust when we choose to lean on something bigger than ourselves. We find strength to pray even for those who hurt us. 4 years ago, during my freshman year of high school, our community was stunned by a series of written threats. Someone, to who this day is unknown, began writing messages of violence on the bathroom walls. In an era where school shootings are a constant haunting reality, these were not just pranks, they were terrifying to the students and staff at my school. I remember the first lockdown. For 3 hours, we sat in classrooms while police officers and firearm detection canines searched every locker and backpack. 3 months later, another threat was written. I remember standing in the parking lot, shivering in 40-degree rainy weather during an evacuation. The toll was devastating. We lost teachers, including a math teacher of 10 years who simply couldn't carry the stress of the threats. Our head of campus, a pillar of our school for 2 decades, took a medical leave and eventually retired, beaten down by the stress and worry we all shared. Even today, the security we live with is a constant reminder of that person. Today, to leave class, students must fill out a 6-page form just to use the bathroom. For a long time, I was consumed by anger. I was frustrated by the disruption and the loss of our school's culture. I wondered if that person had any idea what they had destroyed. I'm drawn to the story of Stephen because he was a man who at his final moments had every right to be angry. Yet, instead of cursing those who threw the stones, he prayed for their souls. This realization became a practice in my own faith. I began to see that that person behind those threats wasn't just a villain, but they were someone in need of help. I realized that while I couldn't control the chaos they caused, I could control my reaction. I could place my faith in a higher power that could carry my fear. Looking back at those lockdowns, I realized that the person who wrote those threats threw their own stones. They threw stones of fear that drove away teachers we loved and permanently changed the culture of my school. For a long time, I carried those stones in my own pockets, heavy with a bitterness that felt justified, but only ended up weighing me down. But my brother's project on William Penn and the story of Stephen, they took different paths, and they offered me a new look on this individual. Penn looked at a world of persecution, and instead of letting himself sit in prison and be angry, he started a community for those of similar faith. Similarly, Stephen looked into the eyes of his executioners. Instead of seeing monsters, he saw souls worth saving, souls in need of prayer. They didn't just survive their trials, they met them with an active, defiant kind of love. I'm still learning to do that. I'm still learning how to trade my anger for faith and love. We can't always control the chaos around us, and we certainly can't control the people who cause it. But we can control where we place our trust and how we respond to the hurt. So as I go back out into the world, we often feel it's full of chaos. I ask, when stones begin to fall in your own life, will you choose to hold on to your anger, or will you see what love and faith might do instead?